The people have spoken. The coalition has won a third term in office, either in its own right or with the support of one or more independents. The biggest single challenge facing a return Morrison government, no doubt, is the economy, which, despite the campaign slogans, is anything but strong, according to most analysts, including the Reserve Bank. So exactly what economic conditions is the coalition confronting at the start of this third term? Michael Yander is our regular Monday finance commentator. Hello, Michael.
Morning, Fran.
As part of its campaign against Labor's tax increases, Michael, the coalition ran on its record of economic management. But all the signs are the economy is sluggish and slowing further.
That's right. Economic growth is running at 2.3% annually, but closer to 1% annually over the second half of last year. So it's actually decelerating. In a fortnight, we get the latest GDP figures for the March quarter. They're also likely to show continued sluggish growth. And that's now starting to affect the jobs market, which until this point had been quite strong. Unemployment has now risen from a low point of 4.9% earlier this year to 5.2% last month. Now, jobs are still being created, about 28,000 last month, but not enough to cover the extra people looking for work, and the employment outlook is weaker still. We've already lost around 50,000 jobs over the past year from construction, even more from manufacturing, as that apartment boom turns into a bust. NAB's chief economist Alan Oster says his bank's latest monthly business survey released last week shows the economic slowdown is getting worse.
Confidence, forward orders and actual business outcomes are all weaker than long-run average. And it also said for the first time that when you look at, say, trading profits and employment, what we've been seeing is that trading and profits have been having a really tough time, but employment's been hanging in there. And what it said in April is employment started to give it up.
And that's not likely to get better given those other figures.
No, we don't see it getting any better. I mean, we look at our own internal data and we don't think April was great for retail sales. We see demand for credit still pretty poor. We see credit cards, they continue to pay us back very quickly. There's nothing out there in the short term that makes you feel very optimistic. I should say that you shouldn't get too pessimistic because whilst the private sector is losing a lot of demand, we are seeing increase in exports and you've got a lot of infrastructure going on and you've got a lot of strength in public sector spending as well. So in national disabilities, things like that. So, you know, we're happy still to say growth is around 2%. Around the world, a lot of people would say 2% growth rate, inflation, on the lower side of 2, unemployment not bad. That's not a bad outcome. It's just that in some sectors, like discretionary retail, you've got a problem.
NAB's chief economist, Alan Oster, and that problem means job losses. Retail also shed a lot of jobs over the past year.
Yeah, that growth rate overseas might look all right, but it is slow. How is this slowing economy likely to affect the budget bottom line?
Well, look, so far the budget's held up pretty well over the past year despite the slowdown. The states are actually taking the bigger hit from falling stamp duties from the declining property market and slower GST growth as consumption dries up.
Because we're spending less.
But the higher resources prices we're getting from China at the moment are helping the federal company tax revenues. The financial crisis losses have also washed through the tax system, so those revenues are being fully taxed now. Low unemployment's also helped the income tax revenue, but of course, we just heard that's reversing, so that could be a drag, and low wages growth is also a drag into the future on that income tax revenue. Stephen Kokoulis from Market Economics says while the government has been returned, it may need to revisit its budget numbers, even though they're less than 2 months old.
The government's still borrowing money. We saw that during the election campaign. Over $7 billion of borrowing in that 6 to 7 week period. So the Australian Office of Financial Management, who run the borrowing program for the government, will be wanting to have a closer look at the new budget numbers from the new government to see whether that $7 billion surplus next year is still credible given the slowing in the economy. So we might have to have a complete rethink of how the numbers are going and to see whether there's going to be any material change in the outlook for the budget surplus because the economy is weaker. There's no question that it is weaker than was assumed at budget time.
Economist Stephen Kokoulis from Market Economics. So, Michael, what do you think the Morrison government might do, can do about this slowing economy?
Well, we've already got tax cuts which are already penciled in of just over $1,000, which will come in the tax refunds of most middle-income households from July 1 onwards.
Yep, that's Prime Minister said he's determined to get Parliament back and get those tax cuts in.
Yep, and that's about, of course, they were bipartisan as well, so they're unlikely to have problems going through the Parliament, whatever the numbers are. That's about $7 billion worth of stimulus on most estimates, but it will take months to feed through in as people put in their tax returns. Maybe better to put them in early this coming financial year. But it's a boost. It's just a modest one. Stephen Kukulis says markets will probably be relieved about the continuity of a coalition government, meaning no major policy shifts.
The return of the coalition government means it is pretty much business as usual. They ran a relatively small target campaign. They did have the tax cut agenda, which I think will get through the Senate relatively easily in the weeks ahead. So, in a sense, the agenda of the coalition is to get those tax cuts through, but they'll still have to deal with this issue of a slowing economy. Do we need to see more fiscal stimulus?
That's economist Stephen Kukulis. More fiscal stimulus, does that mean more infrastructure, bringing forward some of the future tax cuts, or perhaps, given the support from pretty much everyone except the people in Canberra, perhaps increasing Newstart, because people on Newstart will spend that extra money?
Yeah, there's been no sign of that from the coalition yet, though. It's a $2 to $3 billion price tag, and they really haven't been talking about it. The government might not have to wait too long for a bit of assistance in terms of stimulus from the Reserve Bank.
It meets in a fortnight's time, Fran, and NAB's chief economist Alan Oster, who was already forecasting two rate cuts on Friday, moved forward the timing of the first one, which he now expects will happen at that meeting next month.
What we saw last week was, number one, that wages weren't increasing much. Number two, that if anything, the labour market was going backwards. And the leading indicators in our business survey for the labour market were deteriorating. So in that sort of world, if you're an inflation targeting central bank, you probably should do something. And if you're going to do something, there's no point just doing one.
So NAB's Alan Oster now expects a rate cut in June and another one in August, and that's pretty much in line with market pricing, a 65% chance of a rate cut in June and roughly 50-50 of another one in August.
Okay, and Michael, what else should we be looking out for this week?
Well, speaking of the RBA, we get the minutes on Tuesday, but they'll be rapidly superseded by the Reserve Bank Governor Philip Lowe, who's giving a speech at lunchtime on Tuesday in Brisbane. It's titled The Economic Outlook and Monetary Policy. So that's a pretty explicit indication that he'll be giving some very strong hints about what the Reserve Bank will do to interest rates in June and beyond.
And now he's sort of free from the shackles of election campaign too. How are markets likely to start the week, Michael?
Well, you don't know yet what the share market reaction will be to the coalition's victory, but the currency market gives a fair hint. On Friday, the Australian dollar was near its lowest level since the global financial crisis, below 69 US cents. That's near a decade low. The currency has picked up to just above 69 US cents in early trade this morning. The futures haven't traded since the election results became known, but they were pretty flat on Friday. Probably you could expect a small bounce given the threat of franking credit refunds has now been removed.
Michael, thank you very much. Michael Yander, the ABC Senior Digital Business Reporter.